Good morning. Thank all of you for being here on another gorgeous day the Lord has blessed us with. We're thankful that most of us are here. We know that Bill has had a successful operation this past week, and hopefully he'll be back with us soon. And we pray that we'll all have a good week and a good prosperous week and continue to be the best Christian that we know how. Brethren, we live in an age of fierce competition among those in various forms of electronic media. We can choose between over 500 different channels on our television by cable. Radio is fiercely competitive. You can see this as each station tries to carve out its own audience by specializing in some particular type of programming. Therefore, you have classical stations, religious radio stations, stations that present nothing but talk programs, others that present hard rock, experimental rock, top 40 or pop music. You have also country stations, new country stations, country rock stations, and more. There are the oldest stations, oldies, all sports stations, and soft rock stations. I know of one soft rock station whose advertising is going to serve as the theme for which I want to talk to you about this morning. They encourage people to listen to them by telling us to try a little tenderness. Try a little tenderness. I think that's a very good advice. Tenderness is another word for gentleness. Really can be called the fruit of the Spirit. Over and over again, in different ways, Christians are exhorted to manifest tenderness in our lives. Turn your Bibles, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, Paul wrote, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." The Christian's forgiveness is modeled after God's, and God does not forgive unconditionally, as we read about in Acts 2:38 and Acts 8:22. From 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we're encouraged to comfort the feeble-minded or the faint, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul wrote, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, or gentle kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." As we walk through this life, we are to do so with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, Ephesians 4:2. All of these are just different ways of telling us to be tender, to treat other people with tenderness. We've been told that the yoke of Jesus is easy or kind in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Paul spoke of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. And we know that we are to walk even as he walked in 1 John 2:6. So consequently, brethren, it is good advice and entirely scriptural to try a little tenderness. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Did you ever try a little tenderness at home? And remember, brethren, that a good preacher preaches to himself also. Have you ever listened, really listened to yourself as you talk to your husband or your wife or your children? Do you realize how easy it is to become like a snapping turtle? Somebody says something to you and you automatically snap back. All the pressures and problems, just everyday stress and strain of life, can lead us to make sharp, biting replies to our loved ones. And you know what? It can become a habit. It can become a habit everywhere, but it seems so more in the home. Well, try a little tenderness. Remember Proverbs 15 and verse 1? "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Don't we all have enough stress in the workplace and without stirring up strife at home because we snap and bite at one another? Look at Proverbs, the 31st chapter. I love this chapter. It talks about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. This woman has so many wonderful qualities. She is trustworthy, industrious, strong, and honorable. Those are so many wonderful qualities, but none are greater than what we find in verse 26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Gentle kindness fills her heart. It adorns her countenance and flows from her tongue. I believe that if a man were trying to create an angel, brethren, and presupposing that he could create an angel, this is what he would start with: a little tenderness. The virtuous woman, God's wonderful gift to man. Just look at a few of the ways the tongue is described in God's Word. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 52. Psalm 52 and verse 2. The Bible says, the tongue devises or plans destruction. The tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. If you would, just move over to chapter 57, if you would, and look at verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. A tongue can be like a razor. It can be like a sharp sword. With it, we can cut and hew and dismember a loved one. Brethren, a tongue can be like a razor. It can be like a sharp sword. With it, we can cut and hew and dismember a loved one. And you know, some children and marriage companions have never been physically beaten, but they have suffered daily the harsh brutality of a demeaning, belittling tongue. I believe that victims of a cruel and malicious mouth would gladly trade their broken and wounded hearts for black eyes and broken bones. And you know why? Because black eyes and broken bones heal. And you know something? I can't remember all the physical injuries that I have received over the years, but the cruelest remarks, they remain. And I imagine you feel the same. They've been forgiven, but sometimes even when I'm not thinking about them, they pop into my mind and the hurt comes back all over again. Family members need to be bonded together in love and happiness with blessed words of affection, praise, and thanks. Husbands and wives should speak of appreciation and approval of one another. Children sometimes need criticism and condemnation, but they also need sweet and loving words to commendation and encouraging exhortation. Every one of us, mothers, fathers, and children, let's listen to ourselves how we speak at home to one another. Is our conversation filled with negative, derogatory, cutting, complaining, and whining words? Are our voices sharp, caustic, full of sarcasm and irritation? If so, try a little tenderness. What about among our brethren? Well, once again from the book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 16, if you would, with me. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. Solomon tells us, beginning in verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increasing learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There have been some amazing things that I've witnessed among brethren over the years. Would you gloat at a funeral? Certainly not. But do you know some gloat in glory over a fallen brother? Do we feel glad when a brother or sister is overtaken in a fault, or do we seek to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or tenderness, as we read about in Galatians 6 and verse 1? While we're in Proverbs, let's turn over to Proverbs 24 now and read verse 17. Proverbs 24 and verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. I know it's hard to believe, but some brethren by their words actually indicate that they are somehow happy and satisfied when a certain brother or sister falls. Statements such as, I knew it was going to happen, or it's just a matter of time, or those little snide remarks made over the telephone or in private conversations with other brethren of like vicious mind ought not ever to happen, brethren. Maybe some tender words will speed the spiritual healing of the falling brother or sister. And I know that kind words will make someone listen to you more readily, believe me. You can have someone get real mad at you. Have you ever had someone get real mad at you and you just tone it down and be real kind to him? Before you know it, he's toned his rhetoric down and he's very different. Kind words will make someone listen to you. There's a time and there's a place among brethren for sharp rebukes and verbal slaps in the face. It is just not possible, nor is it right, to smile at or to wink or to grin all the time. Occasionally, whips must be fashioned and used, and seats and tables of the money changers must be overturned and their occupants cast out. Understand that I'm speaking here figuratively. When such a thing is necessary, it is not a pleasant task to perform, but when it is necessary, it is necessary. I'm sure that Paul found no pleasure in what became necessary for him to do as far as Peter was concerned in Galatians. You remember that? Let's turn and read that together. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, that's the Lord's brother, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul wasn't afraid to tell him what is wrong. He got right in his face and told him what was wrong before everybody. Yet sometimes, brethren, rebukes and sharp rebukes, they are necessary. Peter would not eat with the Gentile brethren in Christ when some of the influential Jewish Christians came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Peter fell back into sin, but he was restored by Paul. What about the other side of the coin among brethren? The other side is that there are plenty of times and a large amount of space for us to try a little tenderness. You remember Paul's rebuke of the Corinthians for their toleration of their brother who was involved in the sin of fornication that's found in 1 Corinthians 5? Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 5, if you would, please. First Corinthians chapter 5. Paul's words were sharp and to the point. He said in verse 5 that they were to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You ever wonder whatever happened to this man? I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, tells us not only what happened to that man, but how the rest of the brethren at Corinth were to handle it. Now turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was afflicted of many." Verse 7. "So that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." Verse 8. "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive it I in the person of Christ." Verse 11. "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The man in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 repented, and he was welcomed back into the church. This is a classic example of when it's time to try a little tenderness among brethren. Yes, there are times to deal with men and sin firmly, even sharply, when the situation wants it. But let us have grace and use it that our words may be seasoned with salt in order to answer every man properly and appropriately in the fear of God. Let's go back to Proverbs, if you would, please. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. In Proverbs 25 and verse 15, Solomon wrote, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." Solomon is saying that with patient goodness, with tenderness, even the adamant will of a prince can be altered. Soft, tender words will break a bone, which means that it will melt the heart of stone. Sweet, kind words will sometime open a hardened, arrogant heart so that it will be amenable to reflection and to instruction. How many erring, wavering, wandering, fearful, sinful brothers and sisters have been driven to despair and banished to ruin because no one could find a word of brotherly kindness with which to spread and to help, which to please and help. Again from Proverbs, this time verse 18, chapter 18. Last passage. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. "A man's belly may be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." are our tongues as the executioner's sword, brethren, poised and ready to behead any brother or sister who becomes weary and faints or fails and falls? Are we? If so, may God help us to see and remove that accursed practice and replace it with blessing. Are our tongues a salve to the wounds, a salve to the bruises and the putrefying sore, an ointment to the broken spirit, a balm to the wounded heart, a cleansing, soothing agent for dirty hands of a brother or sister who is a defeated victim of sin? In this critical hour of pain and suffering, in the era of heartache caused by sin, isn't it time to show a little tenderness and a little kindness, to exercise a little patience, and to try a little tenderness? Let me tell you about the story of the pit. A man fell into a pit and he couldn't get out by himself. A feeler came along and said, "I really feel for you down there." A thinker walked by and said, "It's illogical that someone would fall down there." A Pharisee said, "Only bad people fall into pits, you know." A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything till you've seen my pit." A preacher said, "You deserve to fall into a pit." A Christian scientist said, "The pit is all in your head." A psychologist said, "Your mother and your father are to blame for you being in that pit." An optimist said, "Things could be worse." A pessimist says, "Things will get worse." A Christian came along, took him by the hand, and lifted him out of the pit. I don't know who penned those words. They were taken from a poem called "The Pit," whose author is unknown. I think the author had an interesting perspective in noting the difference between a professed compassion for others and genuine concern. The world is filled with people who claim to care about a person in a pit, but until someone actually reaches down and helps them out, they haven't made a difference in that person's life. It sounds similar to the parable that Jesus taught on the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And you may remember, he concluded with these words, "Go and do likewise." This is a great lesson to remember, brethren. People need our help, especially spiritually. It is not enough to feel bad for those whose lives are ravaged by sin. Their concerns alone does not help them out of the pit. We must actually reach down in love and pity and give them a chance to crawl out by extending the gospel to them. God has provided a way for all mankind to be forgiven of sin by the salvation found only in Jesus Christ. Sharing the glorious good news should be our greatest privilege and concern in life. I may feel sorry for those outside of Christ in the pit of sin, but until I look for ways to help them out, my pity will be of no benefit to them or to God or to myself. I have said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I'd like for those of you who are listening that are not Christians, do something with me right now. Just privately and to yourself, state the date you intend to be baptized into Christ. Have you done it? Now state the date you're going to die. If you don't know the second date, then I beseech you and beg you that you do not delay the first. Brethren, you become a Christian by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And you'll rise from that watery grave, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. And if this is the night that Jesus comes back, we'll all go home together. And that'll be wonderful. Maybe you're an unfaithful Christian. You too can take care of that this very morning by, after repenting to God, coming forward and let the brethren pray with you and pray for you. Always remembering all the time, eternity is just a breath away. Eternity is just a breath away. Think about that. That's scary. Eternity is just one breath away. Can we help anyway? Make their life right with God. If so, come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Charlie.